know what it looked like. It looked like she was wearing your shirt.
I hate the way Janine looked in my shirt, but she simply wouldn't shut her damn mouth until I gave it to her. I know she was, but I didn't fuck her. Are you that deluded that you think I would do that? My heart is racing at the idea that I've let her walk around for the last few weeks with this bullshit in her head. I should have realized our previous conversation didn't end it.
She was all over you, Harden. In front of me. She kissed me and tried to blow me, but that's it.
Tessa makes a small noise and closes her eyes.
I didn't even get hard for her. Only for you,
I say to try and explain better. But she shakes her head and holds her hand up for me to stop.
Stop talking about her. I'll get sick.
I know she means it.
I got sick too. I threw up all over the place after she touched me. You what?
Tessa stares at me.
I literally vomited, as in I had to run to the bathroom because I got sick from her touching me. I couldn't bear it. You did?
I wonder if I should be worried about the small smile tugging at the corners of her lips as I tell her about my vomit experience.
Yes, I did.
I smile at her, trying to lighten the mood.
Don't look so happy about it,
I say, but if it shifts her mood, I'm all for it.
Good. I hope you were really sick.
Her smile is full now. We are the most fucked up couple. Fucked up, but perfect, that is.
I was,
I say, seizing the moment.
So fucking sick.
I'm sorry that you thought that this whole time. No wonder you were pissed at me. It sort of makes sense now. Then again, she's always pissed at me lately.
Now that you know I didn't fuck around on you,
I raise a sarcastic brow. Will you take me back and let me make an honest woman out of you? She cocks her head at me.
You promised you would stop throwing that at me.
I didn't promise. The word promise was never used. She's going to slap me any minute. Are you going to tell anyone else about the baby shit? I say to change the subject, sort of.
No.
She pulls her lip between her teeth.
I don't think so. Not anytime soon.
No one has to know until we adopt in a few years. I'm sure there are loads of damn babies waiting for parents to buy them. We will be fine. I know she hasn't accepted my offer of marriage, or even being in a relationship with me, but I hope she doesn't use this opportunity to remind me of that. She laughs softly.
Damn babies! Please tell me you don't think there is a store somewhere downtown where you walk in and purchase a baby.
She lifts her hand to her mouth to stop herself from laughing at me.
There isn't?
I joke.
What's Babies R Us, then? Oh, my goodness.
She tilts her head back in laughter. I reach across the small space between us and grab hold of her hand.
If that damn store isn't full of babies, lined up, ready for purchase, then I'm suing for false advertisement.
I pull my best smirk out of her, and she sighs, relieved to be laughing. I know this somehow. I know exactly what she's thinking.
You need help.
She pulls her hand out of mine and stands.
Yeah.
I watch her smile fade.
Yeah, I do.
Chapter 59. Harden.
You two travel across the state of Washington more than anyone else I know,
Landon says, looking up from the couch in my father's living room. After our laughter broke down into silence, I'd convinced Tessa that we should come back east and hang out with Landon before he leaves for good. I had thought she would immediately be ready for that. She loves hanging out with Landon, after all. But she sat quietly for a few uncomfortable moments before agreeing. I waited on her bed while, for some reason, she packed up basically everything she had. And then I waited in the car as she engaged in far too long of a goodbye to Kimberly and Vance. I give Landon a flat-eyed stare.
You don't know many people, so I don't know how relevant that is,
I tease. He glances at his mum, sitting on the chair, and I know he wants to say some smart-ass comment to me, and if she weren't sitting there, he sure as hell would. He's gotten better at the comebacks lately. Instead, he just rolls his eyes and says, "Ha ha," and goes back to the book on his lap.
I'm glad you guys made it safe. The rain is heavy and only supposed to get worse by the end of the night.
Karen's voice is soft as she smiles at me, causing me to look away.
Dinner is already in the oven. It will be ready soon. I'm going to change, Tessa says from behind me. Thank you for letting me stay here again.
She disappears up the stairs. I stand at the bottom of the staircase for a few seconds, before following her like a puppy. When I enter her room, she's dressed in only a bra and panties.
Good timing, self,
I mumble when she looks up at me in the doorway. She uses her hands to cover her chest, then moves them down to her hips, and I can't help but smile. It's a little late for that, don't you think?
Hush,
she scolds me, and pulls a dry shirt down over her rain-damp hair.
You know hushing isn't my strong point. And what is, exactly?
She taunts me, shaking her hips as she pulls a pair of pants up to her stomach. Those pants.
You haven't worn those yoga things in a while.
I rub the stubble on my jaw and stare at the tight black material that she seems to be poured into.
Do not start on these pants.
She waves a sassy finger at me.
You hid them from me. That's why I haven't worn them.
She smiles but seems surprised by her easy humor with me. She hardens her stare at me and straightens her back.
Did not,
I lie, wondering when she found them in our closet at that damn apartment. Looking at her ass in them, I remember why I hid them.
They were in the closet.
As soon as I say that, images of Tessa scrambling through that closet looking for her pants make me laugh, until I remember something else in there that I didn't want her to find. I look at her, searching her face for any indication that my mention of the closet reminds her that she found that damn box.
What?
She asks, pushing her feet into a pair of pink socks. Hideous, fuzzy things with polka dots covering the top of her feet.
Nothing,
I lie, shrugging my paranoia off.
Okay.
She wanders off. I follow her downstairs, again like a puppy, and sit next to her at the massive dining room table. That S-girl is here again, staring at Landon like he's some kind of brilliant jewel or something. This clearly qualifies her as a weirdo. Tessa beams at the woman.
Hey, Sophia.
Sophia takes her eyes away from Landon, only long enough to smile back at Tessa and wave to me.
Sophia helped with the ham,
Karen exclaims proudly. The large dining table is set with a massive feast, with lit candles and flower arrangements. We make small talk while we wait for Karen and Sophia to cut the ham.
Mmm, it's so good. The sauce is really good,
Tessa moans around her fork. These women and their damn food.
You would think you guys are talking about porn, I say, much too loud.
Tessa kicks my foot under the table, and Karen covers her mouth and coughs around her mouthful of food. Everyone's surprised when Sophia laughs. Landon looks uncomfortable, but his expression softens when he notices how hard she's laughing.
Who says that?
She giggles. Landon is pathetically staring at her, and Tessa is smiling now.
Harden says stuff like that.
Karen smiles, humor in her eyes.
Okay, this is weird.
You'll get used to him.
Landon briefly looks at me before focusing back on his new infatuation.
I mean, if you're around a lot. Not that you will be around a lot.
His cheeks are bright red.
If you want it to be, not that you would want to be.
She gets it,
I put him out of his misery, and he looks like he's going to piss himself.
I do.
She smiles at Landon, and I swear his face turns from red to purple. Poor thing.
Sophia, how long are you in town for?
Tessa chimes in, changing the subject in a sweet way to help her friend.
Only a few more days. I leave to go back to New York this coming Monday. My roommates are dying for me to get back. How many roommates do you have?
Tessa asks.
Three, all dancers.
I laugh. Tessa smiles a forced smile.
Oh, wow. Oh, gosh. Ballet dancers, not strippers.
Sarah bursts into laughter, and I join her, only to laugh at Tessa's relief and embarrassed expression. Tessa carries most of the conversation, asking random shit about the woman, and I zone them both out, only focusing on the curve of Tessa's lips as she talks. I love the way she stops every few bites and primly rubs a napkin against her lips, just in case she's got something on her. Dinner continues this way until I'm bored, nearly to death, and Landon's face is only a little red.
Harden, have you decided on graduation? I know you declined to walk, but have you given it further thought?
Ken asks, while Karen, Tessa, and Sarah clear the table.
Nope, haven't changed my mind.
I pick at my teeth with my fingernail. He keeps doing this, bringing this shit up in front of Tessa to bully me into walking across the stuffy auditorium where thousands of people will be crammed into bleachers, sweating profusely and howling like wild animals.
You haven't?
Tessa asks. I look back and forth between her and my father.
I thought maybe you would reconsider.
She knows exactly what she's doing. Landon is grinning like the asshole he is, and Karen and the S-girl are chatting away in the kitchen. I begin. Fucking hell. Tessa's eyes are hopeful yet edgy, almost daring me to deny the idea.
Yeah, sure, fine. I'll fucking walk for graduation, I huff. This is such bullshit.
Thank you, Ken says.
As I'm about to tell him that he's fucking welcome, I realize that he's thanking Tessa, not me.
You two are so...
I begin, but am silenced by the warning in Tessa's expression.
You two are so... wonderful, I say instead.
You two are conniving little shits, I repeat in my head, over and over, as they share a smug grin.
Chapter 60. Tessa. Every single time Sophia talked about New York during dinner, I began to panic. I'm the one who brought it up, I know, but I was only trying to take the attention away from Landon. I knew he was embarrassed, and I said the first thing that came to my mind. It just so happened to be the one topic that I shouldn't have mentioned in front of Harden. I need to tell him tonight. I'm being a ridiculous, immature coward by keeping this from him. The progress he has made within himself will either help him handle the news well, or he will explode. I never know what to expect from him. It could go either way. But I do know both that I'm not personally responsible for his emotional reactions to things, and that I owe it to him to tell him myself. Leaning against the doorway of the dining room, standing in the hallway, I watch Karen wipe the top of the stove with a wet cloth. Ken has moved to the chair in the living room and is now asleep. Landon and Sophia are sitting at the dining room table in silence. Landon attempts to sneak a glance at the woman, and when she looks up at him, she catches his eyes on hers and shows him her beautiful smile. I'm not sure how I feel about this, with him so fresh out of a long-term relationship and already on to someone else. Then again, who am I to have any opinions on the relationships of others? I clearly have no freaking clue how to navigate my own. From my vantage point here in the passway that connects the living room, dining room, and kitchen, I have the most perfect picture of the people who mean the most to me in the world. This includes the most important, Harden, who sits quietly on the couch in the living room, staring blankly at the wall. I smile at the idea of his walking during his graduation in June. I can't imagine him in a cap and gown, but it's certainly something that I am looking forward to seeing, and I know that it meant so much to Ken that he agreed to do it. Ken has made it clear on multiple occasions that he never expected Harden to graduate from college, and now that the truth of their past is out in the open, I'm sure that Ken never expected Harden to change his mind and go along with the typical graduation ritual. Harden Scott is anything but typical. I press my fingers to my forehead, willing my brain to function properly. How should I bring it up now? What if he offers to come along to New York? Would he do that? If he does offer, should I agree? Suddenly, I can feel his eyes on me from where he sits in the living room, and sure enough, when I look over at him, he's studying me, his green eyes curious, his soft mouth pressed into a soft line. I give him my best, I'm okay, just thinking smile, and watch as he frowns and gets up. In a few long strides, he's across the room and leaning with one of his palms pressed against the wall for support while he hovers over me.
"What is it?"
he asks. Landon's head lifts from his focus on Sophia at the sound of Harden's loud voice. "I need to talk to you about something," I quietly admit. He doesn't look concerned, not as concerned as he should be.
"Okay, what is it?"
He leans closer, too close, and I try to step away, only to be reminded that he has me cornered against the wall. Harden raises his other arm to completely block me in, and when my eyes meet his, an obvious smirk covers his face.
"Well?"
he presses. I stare at him in silence. My mouth is dry now, and when I open it to speak, I begin to cough. It's always that way, it seems, in a quiet movie theater, in church, or while having a conversation with someone important. Basically, in situations where coughs don't fit in. Like right now, for example. I'm having an inner rambling session about coughing while coughing, and while Harden stares at me like I'm dying in front of him. He pulls back and walks into the kitchen with purpose. He moves around Karen and returns to me with a glass of water for what feels like the 30th time in the last 2 weeks. I take it, and I'm relieved when the cool water calms my itchy throat. I'm aware that even my body is trying to back out of breaking this news to Harden, and I want to pat myself on the back and kick myself in the chin at the same time. If I did that, I assume Harden would feel a little sorry for me due to my insane behavior and possibly change the subject.
"What's going on? Your mind is moving a mile a minute."
He looks down at me, holding his hand out for the empty glass. When I begin to shake my head, he insists.
"No, no, I can tell."
"Can we go outside?" I turn toward the patio door, trying to make it clear that we shouldn't talk in front of an audience. Heck, we should probably drive back to Seattle to discuss this mess. Or farther. Farther is good.
"Outside? Why?"
"I want to talk to you about something. In private."
"Fine. Sure."
I take a step in front of him to keep the balance. If I lead the way outside, then I may have a better chance to lead the conversation. If I lead the conversation, then I may have a better chance of not allowing Harden to steamroll the entire thing. Maybe. I don't pull my hand from Harden's when I feel his fingers lace into mine. It's so quiet. Only the soft sound of the voices from the crime show Ken fell asleep watching and the low rumbling of the dishwasher in the kitchen. When we step onto the deck, those sounds dissolve, and I'm left alone with the sound of my chaotic thoughts and Harden's low humming. I'm grateful for whatever song he's quietly filling the air with, but it's distracting and helps me focus on something outside of the blow-up that is sure to come. If I'm lucky, I will have a few minutes to explain myself and my decision before he goes Nova.
"Spill,"
Harden says, as he drags one of the patio chairs across the wood of the deck. There goes my chance at having him calm for a few minutes. He's not in a waiting mood. He sits down and rests his elbows on the table between us. I scramble to sit across from him and struggle with where to place my hands. I move them from the top of the table to my lap, to my knees, and back to the table before he reaches across and flattens his palm across my fidgeting fingers.
"Relax,"
he softly says. His hand is warm and it completely covers mine, giving me a sliver of clarity, if only for a moment. "I have been keeping something from you, and it's driving me insane. I need to tell you now, and I know this isn't the time, but you have to know before you find out another way." He lifts his hand from mine and leans against the back of the chair.
"What did you do?"
I can hear the anxiety in his tone, the suspicion in his controlled breath. Nothing, I hastily remark. Nothing like what you were assuming.
You haven't...
He blinks a few times.
You weren't with anyone else, were you?
No. My voice squeaks and I shake my head to prove my point. No, nothing like that. I've just made a decision about something and have kept it from you. It doesn't involve me being with anyone else. I'm not sure if I'm relieved or offended that this was his first thought. In a way, I'm relieved, because moving to New York couldn't possibly be as painful for him as my being with another man. But I'm slightly offended, because he should know me better than that by now. I've done my share of irresponsible, hurtful things to him, involving Zed mostly, but I would never sleep with someone else.
Okay.
He rubs his hand over his hair and rests his curved palm over the back of his neck, massaging the muscles there.
It couldn't be that bad, then.
I take a breath, deciding to just throw it onto the table, no more dancing around the subject. Well, he holds up a hand to stop me.
Wait, how about before you tell me what it is, you tell me why?
Why what? I tilt my head in confusion. He raises a brow to me.
Why you made whatever choice you're pissing yourself over about.
Okay, I nod. I sift through my thoughts while he watches me with patient eyes. Where should I begin? This is much harder than simply telling him that I'm moving, but it's a much better way to communicate the news to him. Now that I think about it, I don't think we've ever done this. Anytime some big dramatic thing was happening, we always found out from other sources in that same big dramatic way. I glance at him one last time before I begin to speak. I want to take in every inch of his face, remember and study the way his green eyes can appear so patient at times. I notice the way the soft pink of his lips appears so inviting now. But I also remember the times when they were split open on one side, straight down the middle, blood pouring from the gashes from fighting. I remember his piercing there and how it grew on me so quickly. I relive the way it felt when the cool metal would brush across my lip. I focus on thinking back to the way he would pull it between his own lips whenever he was deep in thought, and how it just looked so tempting. I think back to the night when he took me ice skating in his attempt to prove that he could be a normal boyfriend to me. He was nervous and playful and had taken out both of his piercings. He claimed that he did it because he wanted to, but still, to this day, I think he removed them to prove something to himself and to me. I missed them for a while. I still do sometimes, but I sort of loved what their absence represented, no matter how undeniably sexy they looked on him.
Harden to Tessa. Care to share?
He teases, and leans up and rests his chin in the palm of one hand. Yes. I smile nervously. Well, I made the decision because we need time apart, and it seemed like the only way to be sure that actually happens.
Time apart, huh? Still?
His eyes sat on mine, pressuring me to back down. Yes, time apart. Everything is such a mess between us, and I needed to put distance between us. Really, this time. I know we say that all the time. We do this little song and dance around everything, and we drive back and forth from Seattle to here, and then London got thrown into the mix. We were basically spreading our mess of a relationship across the globe. I pause for his reaction, and receiving only an indecipherable expression, I finally tear my eyes from his.
Is it really that much of a mess?
Harden's voice is soft. We fight more than we get along.
That isn't true.
He tugs at the collar of his black t-shirt.
Technically and literally, that isn't true, Tess. It may feel that way, but when you think back over all the bullshit we've gone through, we've spent more time laughing and talking, reading, teasing, and in bed, of course. I mean, I take a long time in bed.
He smiles a small smile, and I can feel my resolve weakening. We solve everything with sex, and that's not healthy, I say, pushing my next point.
Sex isn't healthy?
He scoffs.
We're having consensual sex, full of love and full of fucking trust.
He looks at me with intensity.
Yeah, it also doubles as amazing, mind-blowing fucking sex. But don't forget why we do it. I don't fuck you just to get off. I do it because I love you, and I love the trust you place in me when you allow me to touch you in that way.
Everything he is saying is making sense, despite that it shouldn't. I agree with him, no matter how cautious I try to be. I feel New York City slipping farther and farther away, so I decide to drop the bomb sooner rather than later. Have you ever looked into the signs of an abusive relationship?
Abusive?
He sounds as if he's gasping for air.
You find me abusive? I never laid a hand on you, and I never would.
I stare down at my hands and press forward with the honesty. No, that's not what I meant. I was referring to both of us and the way we do things to purposely hurt each other. I wasn't accusing you of being physically abusive. He sighs and runs both hands over his hair, a sure sign he's starting to panic.
Okay, so this is obviously much more than some stupid decision to not live with me in Seattle or something.
Then he stops and looks at me with a deathly seriousness.
Tessa, I'm going to ask you something, and I want your real, honest answer. No bullshit, no thinking about it. Just say what comes to your mind when I ask, okay?
I nod, unsure where he is going with this.
What's the worst thing I've done to you? What's the most disgusting, terrible thing that I've put you through since we met?
I begin to think through the last 8 months, but he clears his throat, reminding me that he wanted me to say the first thing that came to mind. I fidget in the chair, not wanting to open that vault right now, or any time in the future, really, but finally I spit it out. The bet. The fact that you had me completely fooled when I was falling in love with you. Harden appears thoughtful, lost for a moment.
Would you take it back? Would you change that mistake of mine if you could?
I take my time to think this through. Really think this through before answering. I've answered this question before, many times, and I've changed my mind even more than that, but now the answer feels so final. It feels so final and certain, and it just feels like it matters more now than ever before. The sun is moving lower in the sky, hiding behind the thick trees lining the Scott's property, activating the automatic patio lights. No, I wouldn't take it back, I say, mostly to myself. Harden nods as if he knew exactly what my response would be.
Okay, so next to that, what is the worst thing I've done?
When you ruined that apartment for me in Seattle, I answer easily.
Really?
He sounds surprised by my response. Yes.
Why that? What was it about me doing that that pissed you off so bad?
The fact that you completely took control of a decision that was mine and you hid it from me. He nods, then shrugs.
I won't try to justify that shit because I know it was fucked up.
Okay. I hope he has more to say on that.
I do understand where you were coming from with that. I shouldn't have done that. I should have talked to you instead of trying to keep you from going to Seattle. I was fucked in the head at the time, still am, but I'm trying, and that's something different than before.
I'm unsure how to respond to that. I agree that he shouldn't have done it, and I agree that he is trying now. I look into his very earnest, very brilliant green eyes, and it's hard to remember what my point behind this entire conversation is supposed to be.
You have this idea in your head, baby. An idea that someone planted there, or maybe you saw it on some shitty television show, or maybe in one of your books, I don't know. But real life is fucking hard. No relationship is perfect, and no man is ever going to treat a woman exactly how he should.
He lifts a hand in the air to stop me from interrupting.
I'm not saying it's right, okay? So hear me out. I'm only saying that I think if you, and maybe some other people in this fucked up, criticizing world, would just pay closer attention to the shit behind the scenes, you would see things differently. We aren't perfect, Tessa. I'm not fucking perfect, and I love you, but you are far from perfect, too.
He winces at that, letting me know that he means that in the least terrible way possible.
I've done a lot of shit to you, and fuck, I've made this speech 1,000 damn times, but something inside of me has changed. You know it's true.
When Harden stops speaking, I stare into the sky behind him for a few seconds. The sun is setting just below the trees, and I wait for it to disappear before responding. I'm afraid we are too far gone. We have both made so many mistakes.
It would be a waste to give up instead of fixing those mistakes, and you fucking know it.
A waste of what? Time? We don't have much time to waste now, I say, inching into the inevitable train wreck.
We have all the time in the world. We're still young. I'm about to graduate, and we'll live in Seattle. I know you are sick of my bullshit, but I'm selfishly counting on your love for me to convince you that I should have one last chance.
What about all the things I've done to you? I've called you names, all the stuff with Zed. I bite my lip and look away at the mention of Zed. Hardin's fingers tap against the glass countertop of the table.
First off, Zed doesn't have a place here in this conversation. You've done stupid shit. So have I. Neither of us had any damn clue how to be in a relationship. You may have thought you did because you were with Noah for so long, but let's be real here. The two of you were basically kissing cousins. That shit wasn't real.
I glare at Hardin, waiting for him to continue digging this hole he's working on.
And as far as you calling me names, which is hardly ever...
He smiles, and I begin to wonder who this man sitting across from me actually is.
Everyone calls each other names. I'm sorry, but even your mum's pastor's wife is calling her husband an asshole sometimes. She probably doesn't say it to his face, but it's the same shit.
He shrugs his shoulders.
And I would much rather you call me an asshole to my face.
You have an explanation for everything, don't you?
No, not everything. Not much, really. But I know you're sitting across from me, looking for a way out of this, and I'm going to do my damn best to make sure you know what you're saying.
Since when do we communicate this way? I can't help but be astonished at the lack of yelling and screaming coming from both of us. Hardin crosses his arms in front of his chest, picks at the frayed edges of his cast, and shrugs.
Since now? Since, I don't know, since the other shit didn't seem to work for us, so why not try this way?
I feel my mouth fall open in surprise at the nonchalance of his statement. Why do you make it sound so easy? If it was this easy, we could have done it before.
No, I wasn't the same before, and neither were you.
He stares at me, waiting for me to speak again. It's not that simple. The time it took for us to get here matters, Hardin. It matters that we went through that, and I need time to myself now. I need time to find out who I am and what I want to do with my life, and how I'm going to get there. And I need to do that on my own. I say the words with full bravado, but they taste like acid as they leave my mouth.
You've made up your mind, then? You don't want to live with me in Seattle? Is that why you're so closed off and unwilling to actually listen to what I'm saying?
I am listening, but I've already made up my mind. I can't keep doing this back and forth, back and forth. Not just with you, but with myself.
I don't believe you, especially since it doesn't sound like you believe yourself.
He leans back against the cushion on the chair and lifts his legs onto the table.
Where's your place at, then? Which neighborhood in Seattle?
It's not in Seattle, I say curtly. My tongue is suddenly made of lead, and I can't get a word out.
Oh? Where, then? Which suburb?
He asks snidely. It's New York, Hardin. I want to go. That gets him believing.
New York?
He removes his feet from the table and stands up.
You're talking about actual New York? Or is that some little hipster neighborhood in Seattle that I haven't come across yet?
Actual New York, I clarify, as he paces across the deck. In a week. Hardin is silent except for his feet hitting the wood as he walks up and down the length of the deck.
When did you decide this?
He finally asks. After London, and after my father passed away. I stand.
So me being an asshole to you made you want to pack your shit and go to New York City? You've never even left the state of Washington. What makes you think you could live in a place like that?
His response stirs my defensive side. I could live anywhere that I want. Don't try to belittle me.
Belittle you? Tessa, you're 1,000 times better at everything than I am. I am not trying to belittle you. I'm only asking, what makes you think that you can live in New York? Where would you even live?
With Landon. Hardin's eyes widen.
Landon?
This is the look I've been waiting for, wishing wouldn't come, but now that it's here, sadly, I feel slightly at ease. Hardin was taking everything so well. He was being more understanding, calm, and cautious with his words than ever before. It was throwing me off. This look I know. This is Hardin trying to control his temper.
Landon. You and Landon are moving to New York.
Yes, he was already going, and I...
Whose idea was this? Yours or his?
Hardin's voice is low, and I realize that it's much less angry than I expected. There is something worse than anger, though, and it's hurt. Hardin is hurt, and I can feel my stomach and chest tightening at the surprised, betrayed, guarded energy taking over him. I don't want to tell Harden that Landon asked me to move to New York. I don't want to tell Harden that Landon and Ken have been helping me with recommendation letters and transcripts, admission packets and applications. I'm going to take a semester off when I get there, I tell him, in hopes of distracting him from his question. He turns to me, cheeks red under the patio light, eyes wild, and hands clenched at his sides.
It was his idea, wasn't it? He knew this all along, and while he had me convinced that we were, I don't know, friends, brothers even, he was going behind my back.
Harden, it isn't like that, I say to defend Landon.
Like hell it isn't. You two are something fucking else,
he shouts, waving his hands frantically in front of his body.
You sat there and let me make a fool out of myself, offering you marriage and adoption and all kinds of shit, and you knew, you fucking knew you were leaving anyway?
He tugs at his hair and changes the direction of his moving feet. He's walking toward the door now, and I try to stop him. Don't go in there like this, please. Stay out here with me and we can finish talking about this. We have so much more to talk about.
Stop. Just fucking stop.
He shrugs my hand off his shoulder when I try to touch him. Harden yanks on the handle of the screen door, and I am sure that the noise I hear is its hinges loosening. I follow closely behind him, hoping that he isn't going to do exactly what I think he will, exactly what he always does when anything bad happens in his life, in our life.
Landon!
Harden yells the moment he steps into the kitchen. I'm thankful that Ken and Karen seem to have gone upstairs for the night.
What?
Landon shouts back. I follow Harden into the dining room where Landon and Sophia are still seated at the table, a nearly empty plate of desserts between them. As Harden barrels into the room, jaw clenched, fists tight, Landon's expression changes.
What's going on?
He asks, eyeing his stepbrother carefully before looking to me.
Don't look at her. Look at me,
Harden snaps. Sophia jumps in her seat but quickly recovers and turns her focus to me as I stand behind Harden. Harden, he didn't do anything wrong. He is my best friend, and he was only trying to help, I say. I know what Harden's capable of, and the thought of Landon being on the receiving end of that makes me sick to my stomach. Harden doesn't turn around, but just says,
Stay out of this, Tessa. What are you talking about?
Landon asks, though I know that he is fully aware of what it is that made Harden so angry.
Wait, this is about New York, isn't it? Fuck yes, it's about New York,
Harden yells at him. Landon stands up and Sophia sends Harden a murderous warning glare. Right then, I decide that I'm okay with her and Landon becoming more than friendly neighbors.
I was only looking out for Tessa when I invited her to come with me. You broke up with her and she was broken. Absolutely broken. New York is what is best for her,
Landon calmly explains.
You know how fucked up you are? You pretended to be my fucking friend and then you go and pull this shit?
Harden begins pacing again, this time in a smaller circle across the empty space in the dining room.
I wasn't pretending. You messed up again and I was trying to help her.
Landon yells back at Harden.
I'm both of your friends.
My heart is racing as Harden crosses the room and wraps his fists around Landon's shirt.
Help her by taking her away from me.
Harden pushes Landon against the wall.
You were too high to care.
Landon screams into Harden's face. Sophia and I are both watching, frozen. I know Harden and Landon much better than she does, and even I don't know what to say or do. It's pure chaos. The two men yelling in each other's face, the noise from Ken and Karen rushing down the stairs, the rattling and shattering glasses and plates from how Harden grabbed and dragged Landon to the wall.
You knew what you were fucking doing. I trusted you, you piece of shit. Go on, then. Hit me,
Landon exclaims. Harden's fist rises, but Landon doesn't blink. I yell Harden's name, and I think I hear Ken doing the same. Out of the corner of my eye, I see Karen tug at Ken's shirt, holding him back from stepping between the two men.
Hit me, Harden. You're so tough and violent. Go on and fucking hit me,
Landon goads again.
I will. I'll...
Harden's hand lowers, only to rise again. Landon's cheeks are red with anger and his chest is heaving, but he doesn't look the least bit afraid of Harden. He looks pissed off and very collected at once. I feel the opposite. I feel like if the two people I care about the most get into a fight right now, I don't know what I would do. I look at Karen and Ken again. They don't seem concerned for Landon's health. They are too calm right now while Harden and Landon are screaming back and forth.
You won't do it,
Landon says.
Yes, I fucking will. I will smash this stupid fucking cast.
But Harden trails off. He stares at Landon and turns back to look at me before focusing on Landon once more.
Fuck you,
he shouts. He lowers his fist and turns on his heel to leave the room. Landon is still against the wall, looking as if he might punch something himself. Sophia is on her feet now, moving to comfort him. Karen and Ken are talking quietly between themselves, walking toward Landon, and I, well, I'm standing in the middle of the dining room, trying to understand what just happened. Landon demanded that Harden hit him. Harden's temper was already shot. He felt betrayed and screwed over again, and yet he didn't do it. Harden Scott walked away from violence, even in the heat of the moment.
Chapter 61. Harden. I keep walking until I'm outside, and only then do I realize that Ken and Karen had been in the room. Why didn't they try to stop me? Did they somehow know that I wouldn't hit him? I'm not sure how I feel about that. The spring air isn't fucking crisp or fresh or flowery or anything that could help me snap out of this shit. I'm getting back there. I'm seeing red around the corners of my vision, and I don't want to. I don't want to slip and fucking lose everything that I've been working toward. I don't want to lose this new and much easier version of myself. If I had hit him, if I had knocked Landon's goddamn teeth down his throat, I would have lost. I would have lost everything, including Tessa. Then again, I don't really have her. I haven't had her since I sent her packing in London. She's been planning this little getaway the entire time, right alongside Landon. Both of them have been plotting behind my fucking back, planning to leave me behind in the shitty state of Washington while they travel the country together. She sat there in silence as I poured myself out to her and let me make a fucking fool of myself. Landon had me fooled this entire time, thinking that he actually gave a fuck about me. Everyone around me keeps fucking me over and lying, and I'm sick of it. Harden, stupid fucking Harden, the guy who no one gives a fuck about, always the last to know every fucking thing. That's me. Always has been. Always will be. Tessa is the only person in my entire life that ever took the time to care about me, care for me, and make me feel like I'm actually worth someone's time. I agree, we haven't had the easiest relationship. I've made mistake after mistake, and I could have done a lot of shit differently, but I would never abuse her. If she sees me or our relationship like that, then there really is no hope for us. I think the hardest thing to explain is that there is a big difference between our relationship being unhealthy and being abusive. I think that a lot of people are quick to judge without putting themselves in the shoes of the people who deal with this shit. My shoes track across the grass and toward the line of trees at the end of the property. I don't know where the hell I'm going or what I'm going to do back here, but I need to calm my breathing and concentrate before I snap. Fucking Landon had to push me. He just had to push my fucking buttons and try to make me hit him. But I didn't have the raging rush of adrenaline. My blood wasn't singing in my veins. My mouth wasn't watering at the idea of a fight, for once. Why the hell would he tell me to hit him? He's an idiot, that's why. Motherfucker is what he is. Bastard. Asshole. Fucking idiot asshole motherfucker.
Harden?
Tessa's voice travels through the dark silence, and I try to make a quick decision whether to talk to her. I'm just too fucking mad to deal with her shit and being scolded for picking on Landon. He started this shit, I say, stepping out into the open space between two large trees. So much for hiding. See? I can't even fucking do that correctly.
Are you okay?
She asks, her voice light and nervous.
What do you think?
I snap, looking past her and into the darkness.
I'm...
Save it, please. I know you're going to say you're right and I'm wrong, and I shouldn't have slammed Landon against the wall.
She steps toward me, and I can't help but notice the way I take a step closer to her at the same time. As angry as I am fucking drawn to her. Always have been. Always fucking will be.
Actually, I was going to apologize. I know how wrong it was to keep that from you. I want to take ownership for my mistake, not blame you,
she says softly.
What?
Since when? I remind myself yet again that I'm pissed off. But it's hard to remember how pissed off I am when I just want her to hug me, to remind me that I'm not as big of a fuck-up as I think I am.
Can we talk again? You know, how we did on the patio?
Her eyes are wide and hopeful, even in the dark, even after my blow-up. I want to tell her no, that she had her damn chance to talk every day since she decided to move across the fucking country to put some space between us. Instead, I huff and nod in agreement. I don't give her the satisfaction of answering, but I nod again and lean against the trunk of the tree behind me. I can tell by the look on her face that she didn't expect me to acquiesce so easily. The childish little shit inside me smiles at my having caught her off guard. She kneels down and sits cross-legged on the grass. She rests her hands on her bare feet.
I'm proud of you,
she says, looking up at me. The lights from the patio cast only enough light to make out her small smile, the soft praise in her eyes. For what? I pick at the bark on the tree, waiting for her answer.
For walking away like that. I know Landon was pushing and pushing, but you walked away, Harden. That was a huge step for you. I hope you know how much that means to him, that you chose not to hit him.
Like he fucking cares. He's been going behind my back for the last 3 weeks. It doesn't mean shit.
Yes, it does. It means a lot to him.
I pull off a particularly large piece of bark and toss it to the ground at my feet. And what does it mean to you? I ask, eyes focused on the tree.
Even more.
She runs her palm across the grass.
It means even more to me.
Enough to keep you from moving? Or even more, as in you're really proud of me. I'm a good boy, but you're still leaving. I can't disguise the pathetic whine in my voice.
Harden.
She shakes her head, trying to think of an excuse, I'm sure. Landon, out of all people, knows exactly what you mean to me. He knows that you are my fucking lifeline, and he didn't care. He's going to take you across the country, pulling the cord on me, and that hurts. Okay? She sighs, biting on her bottom lip.
When you say things like that, it makes me forget why I'm fighting against you.
What? I push my hair back and sit down on the ground, my back resting against the tree.
When you say things like, I'm your lifeline, and when you admit that something hurts you, it reminds me why I love you so much.
I look at her and notice the way she sounds so sure, despite her claim to be uncertain of our relationship. You know damn well you are. You know that I'm not shit without you. Maybe I should have said, I'm nothing without you. Love me. But I already blurted out my own version.
You are, though.
She smiles hesitantly.
You are a good person, even at your worst. I have a really bad habit of reminding you of your mistakes and holding them over you, when, in reality, I'm just as bad at this relationship as you are. I had an equal share in dooming it.
Dooming it? I've heard this way too many damn times.
Ruining us, I mean. It was just as much my fault as it was yours.
Why is it ruined? Why can't we just fix our issues? She takes another breath and tilts her head back slightly to look at the sky.
I don't know,
she says, sounding as surprised as I am. You don't know, I repeat, a smile on my lips. Fuck, We are insane.
I don't know. I just had my mind set. And now I'm confused because you are truly, honestly trying, and I see that.
You do? I try not to sound too interested, but of course my fucking voice breaks and I sound like a damn mouse.
Yes, Harden, I do. I'm just not sure what to do about it.
New York won't help us. New York isn't going to be this new start at life, or whatever you think. You and I both know that you're using that city as an easy way out of this, I say, waving my hand back and forth between us.
I know.
She pulls a handful of grass from its roots, and I can't help but love the way I've been with her so long that I know she does this every time she sits on grass. How much time?
I don't know. I really do want to go to New York now. Washington hasn't been good to me so far.
She frowns, and I watch as she leaves me and disappears into her own mind. You've been here your whole life. She blinks once, takes a deep breath, and tosses her little stray pieces of grass onto her foot.
Exactly.
Chapter 62. Tessa. Are you ready to go inside? My voice is a whisper, breaking the silence between us. Harden hasn't spoken, and I haven't been able to come up with anything worth saying in the last 20 minutes.
Are you?
He lifts himself up using the tree and brushes the dirt off his black jeans. If you are.
I am.
He smiles a sarcastic smile.
But if you would like for us to keep talking about going inside, we could do that too.
Ha ha. I roll my eyes, and he reaches his hand out to help me to my feet. His hand gently wraps around my wrist, and he pulls me up. He doesn't let go. He only slides his hand down to cup mine. I don't comment on his gentle touch, or that he's looking at me in that familiar way, the way that he looks at me when his anger is masked, overpowered even by his love for me. This raw and unplanned look on his face reminds me that a part of me needs and loves this man more than I am willing to admit. There is no plan behind this touch. It's not a calculated gesture when his arm moves around my waist and he draws me to him as we walk up the grass to the deck. Once we're inside, not a word is spoken. We only get a worried glance from Karen. Her hand is resting on her husband's arm and he's leaning down, talking quietly to Landon, who has now taken a seat back at the dining room table. Sophia's no longer around and I assume she left after the chaos. Who could blame her?
Are you okay?
Karen turns her attention to Harden as he walks near. Landon looks up at the same time as Ken, and I gently nudge Harden.
Who, me?
He asks, confused. He stops in front of the staircase, and I bump into him.
Yes, dear. Are you okay?
Karen clarifies. She pushes her brown hair behind her ears and takes a step toward us, her hand moving to her belly.
You mean?
Harden clears his throat.
Am I going to go on a rampage and bash Landon's face in? No, I'm not,
he huffs. Karen shakes her head, patience clear in her soft features.
No, what I meant was, are you okay? Is there anything I can do for you? That's what I meant.
He blinks once, composing himself.
Yeah, I'm fine.
If the answer to that question changes, be sure to let me know, okay?
He nods once and leads me upstairs. I look back down for Landon to follow, but he closes his eyes, turning his face away. I need to talk to Landon, I tell Harden as he opens the door to his room. He switches the light on and lets go of my arm.
Now?
Yes, now.
Right now?
Yes. The moment I say the word, Harden has me against the wall.
This second?
He leans into me, his breath warm against my neck.
You're sure?
I'm not sure of anything, really. What? My voice is thick, my head cloudy.
I think you were going to kiss me.
He presses his lips to mine, and I can't help but smile into it, into the madness, into the relief of his affection. His lips aren't soft. They are dry and cracked, but so perfect, and I love the way his tongue laps around mine, pushing into my mouth, not giving me the option to overthink or pull away. His hands are at my waist,
fingers pressing deliciously into the skin there as his knee pushes between my thighs to separate them.
I can't believe you are moving so far from me.
He drags his mouth across my jaw to the skin just below my ear.
So far away from me.
I'm sorry, I breathe, unable to say more than that when his hands move from my hips to my stomach, pushing the fabric of my t-shirt along with the heavy drag of his hands.
Between the two of us, we keep running.
His voice is calm, despite his hands moving quickly to cup my chest. My back is pressed against the wall, and my shirt is lying on the floor at our feet. We do.
One Hemingway quote, and then I'll keep my mouth busy elsewhere.
He smiles against my mouth, his hands rubbing, teasing just above the waist of my pants. I nod, wanting him to follow through on that promise.
You can't get away from yourself by moving from one place to another.
He pushes his hand into my pants. I groan, equally overwhelmed by his words and his touch. His words play on an endless stream inside my mind as he touches me and I reach for him. He's clearly straining against his zipper, and he moans my name under his breath as I fumble with the button of his jeans.
Don't go to New York with Landon. Stay with me in Seattle.
Landon. I turn my head and remove my hand from Harden's zipper. I need to talk to Landon. This is important. He seemed upset.
So? I'm upset, too.
I know, I sigh, but you clearly aren't that upset. I glance down at his cock, boxers barely covering it.
Well, that's because I'm distracted from being angry at you. And Landon,
he adds weakly as an afterthought. I won't be long. I pull away from him and lift my shirt from the floor, tugging it down over my stomach.
Okay, I need a few minutes anyway.
Harden pulls his hair back and drops the messy fringe onto his neck. This is the longest his hair has been since I met him. I like it this way, but sort of miss being able to see the traces of ink that peek up from the neckline of his shirt. A few minutes away from me? I ask, before considering how desperate the question sounds.
Yes. You did just tell me that you were moving across the country, and I lost my temper with Landon. I need a few minutes to sort through the shit going on in my head.
Okay. I understand. I do understand. He's handling this much better than I expected, and the last thing I should do is jump into bed with Harden and neglect settling things with Landon.
I'm going to take a shower,
he tells me as I walk into the hallway. My mind is still in the bedroom with Harden, pressed against the wall, living in the distraction as I go downstairs. With each step, the ghost of his touch lessens, and when I walk into the dining room, Karen moves from Landon's side and Ken gestures for her to leave the room with him. She offers me a small smile and a gentle squeeze of my hand as she passes. Hey. I pull a chair out and sit down next to Landon, but he stands just as I take my seat.
Not now, Tessa,
he snaps, and goes into the living room. Confused by his harsh tone, I miss a beat. Apparently, I'm missing more than that, though. Landon. I stand up and follow him into the living room. Wait! I shout at his back. He stops walking.
I'm sorry, but this isn't working anymore.
What's not working? I tug at his long-sleeve shirt to stop him from walking away from me. Without turning around, he says,
This thing between you and Harden. It was okay when it was only affecting the two of you, but now you're dragging everyone else into it, and that's not fair.
The anger in his voice cuts deep, and it takes me a moment to remember that he's talking to me. Landon has always been supportive and kind, and I never expected to hear this from him.
I'm sorry, Tessa, but you know I'm right. You guys can't keep bringing all this here. My mom is pregnant now, and that scene could have done real damage to her nerves. You guys go back and forth between Seattle and here, fighting in both cities and everywhere in between.
Ouch. I struggle for words, not that any great ones come to mind. I know. I'm so sorry for what just happened. I didn't mean for any of that to happen, Landon. I had to tell him about New York. I couldn't keep it from him. I thought he handled it really well. I stop when my voice breaks. I'm confused and panicked because Landon is upset with me. I knew he wasn't happy with Harden's putting his hands on him, but I didn't expect this. Landon spins to look at me.
He handled it well? He slammed me against the wall.
Landon sighs and pushes the sleeves of his shirt up his elbows, taking a couple of breaths.
He did, I guess. But that doesn't mean this isn't becoming more and more of a problem.
You guys can't travel the world breaking up and getting back together. If it doesn't work in one city, why would you think it would work in another?
I know that. That's why I'm coming to New York with you. I needed to figure myself out alone. Well, without Harden. That was the whole point behind it. Landon shakes his head.
Without Harden? You think he's going to let you go to New York without him? He will either come with you or you'll stay here, fighting like this.
Those words, and the ones he rattles off next, make my heart sink in my chest. Everyone always says the same things about my relationship with Harden. Hell, I make the same points. I've heard it all before, many times, but as Landon throws them at me one after another, it's different. It's different, and it means more, and hurts more, and makes me doubt everything more. I really am sorry, Landon. I feel like I could cry. I know I drag everyone into our mess, and I'm so sorry for that. I don't mean to. I don't mean for it to be this way, especially with you. You're my best friend. I never want you to feel like that.
Yeah, well, I do. And a lot of other people do too, Tessa.
His words are sharp and puncture me in that one place I had left, the only untouched, clean place inside me, which was reserved for Landon and his loving friendship. That sacred little place was essentially all I had left when it came to the people around me. It was my safety spot, and now it's dark, like its surroundings. I'm sorry.